It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
This is the continuing story of Peyton Place.
And welcome to Soap Opera Season. Monday, January 20, 2025 was a big day across America. It was Martin Luther King Day. It was also the presidential inauguration day, and for the first time since Grover Cleveland back in 1893, a former president returned to the office after losing his own re-election campaign 4 years earlier. Today, across the swamp regions along the Gulf Coast, a rare blanket of snow began on Monday night in Texas and has now spread on Tuesday across the I-10 corridor of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and even western Florida. The National Weather Service even had to issue its very first blizzard warning ever for Lafayette, Louisiana today. Oh my! Woo! This week, the sports world has supplied us with some very intriguing stories as well. Much like television's soap operas, several of these stories just seem to linger on without any resolution in sight. You know, soap operas rarely resolve the underlying problems. Back a long time ago when I was a youngster, I used to laugh at my stay-at-home mom with her 4 sons to keep up with, faithfully watching a few of those weekday television dramas during the lunch hour. Her favorite soap opera shows featured a litany of recurring themes in which the primary characters always seemed to be facing. The daily angst about these characters' lingering problems apparently took my mom's mind off of her own struggles trying to raise 4 wild and crazy boys. The myriad of issues in a soap opera are rarely ever resolved, though. And any script changes usually occurred when a key actor's contract was up for renegotiation or the show's TV ratings might have been sagging. It's much like current-day professional wrestling. The shows need to plant a hook in viewers to encourage them to return on a regular basis to see the plot advance, albeit at a snail's pace most weeks. When you happen to miss a month or more of the shows, you often find that nothing significant has actually changed during your absence. In sports, this week features more than its share of continuing soap opera drama too. Let's start with Secret Storm. Otherwise known as, are referees biased to help the NFL's preferred teams? How many years have we heard about this recurring problem? Regular viewers to the NFL can claim the refs are biased almost every season. Much like a soap opera, the favored or slighted teams shift ever so slowly over time. And like a good soap opera, the question tends to linger and may never ever be resolved. I remember watching the Dallas Cowboys during the Coach Tom Landry days of the 1970s and 80s. It seemed like the Cowboys received some type of friendly call from the referees, or perhaps a timely no-call whenever the game's outcome was on the line. Well, today, the Kansas City Chiefs have become America's team to love or despise. As the 2-time defending NFL champions, the Chiefs have gone from the lovable underdogs a few years ago to, it's time for someone else to win the title. As more and more NFL fans get tired of watching the same team winning the Super Bowl, the naysayers start to look for any biases being shown to the league's top-rated team. This year's Kansas City Chiefs have played a number of games in which the referees' decisions, or non-decisions, have played a significant factor in the outcome of those games. You want some proof? Let's go! This season, Kansas City's been called for 45 penalties. Their opponents have been flagged for 58. Now, that differential of 13 doesn't seem like very much, but the timing of those calls can be consequential in tight games. The Chiefs scored just 22.6 points per game. That's 15th best out of 32 teams. Not very good. But they allowed only 19.2 points a game, and that's 4th best in the league during the 2024 season. For a team which finished with a sparkling 15-2 record this year, that 3.4 point differential seemed a bit low to me. During Saturday's 23-14 loss at Kansas City, the Houston Texans became the latest in a growing line of NFL teams which witnessed some key officiating calls go in favor of the NFL's defending champions in Kansas City. On Saturday, the Chiefs' MVP quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, was the beneficiary of a couple of questionable calls made against the visiting Texans. Even former NFL quarterback Troy Aikman, up in the TV booth for Fox Sports, shouted, "Oh, come on!" after a 15-yard penalty was assessed to the Houston Texans on a very questionable hit on Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. After the game, Houston Texans running back Joe Mixon agreed. He said, quote, "It is what it is. When it comes down to it, you can never leave it in the ref's hands.
Yes!
There's a growing belief that Kansas City has a very cozy relationship with the NFL's referees this year. And on Sunday, the Chiefs are going to host Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. That'll be at 5:30 p.m. Central Time on CBS. If this is a close game, there will be millions of fans keeping a very suspicious eye on the referees, especially during the game's final moments. You know, Saints fans are not going to forget the referees in that 2019 NFC title game. I haven't. Now, 6 years ago, New Orleans Saints fans still remember the Los Angeles Rams committing an obvious pass interference penalty with just a minute to go in a 2020 tie game in the NFC Championship. Unfortunately, the refs blindly did not see a pass interference infraction, which the entire nation observed on television, and no penalty was called on the play. The Rams went on to win that game, 26-23 in overtime. At least as a consolation to Saints fans, the Rams lost the Super Bowl game to New England that year. Afterwards, the NFL stated it was a judgment call by the referees. For Saints fans, it was the team's best and perhaps final chance to win a second Super Bowl title for quarterback Drew Brees. Do the NFL's referees really give friendly breaks to one team over another? And if so, who controls those decisions? Is the gambling community somehow involved? Can we expect to see more questionable calls this weekend in the AFC and NFC title games? And just like any good soap opera, you've got to come back next week and we'll find out. Next, it's time for As the Portal Turns. One of sports' newest soap operas has been the NCAA's wild and woolly activity involving college athletes now being permitted to change schools every semester if they want to. When you combine these increasingly frequent player moves with very, very loose rules, if you want to call them that, associated with the name, image, and likeness or NIL payments, the new soap opera is gaining more fan interest by the week. Major college athletes, primarily in football and basketball, are signing deals, playing for just one semester, and then transferring to another school with a higher offer for the next sports year. This weekend, a new story emerged where a freshman football player at the University of Wisconsin was not allowed to utilize that NCAA transfer portal to bolt to the University of Miami. A first-year defensive back signed an NIL revenue share agreement at Wisconsin, apparently, earlier this fall. And under that agreement, the player apparently bound himself to remain with the Big Ten's Badgers for a two-year period. As a result, the University of Wisconsin refused to enter that freshman football player's request to place his name in the NCAA transfer portal. Under the current NCAA rules, the college athlete must be timely placed into that transfer portal by his or her current school. And that allows the school to know that the athlete is planning to leave. Well, this new soap opera might be titled Onward from Wisconsin. In this week's soap opera story, the former Wisconsin football player and his family are considering obtaining an attorney to sue the school for its failure to place the player's name into the NCAA transfer portal. Despite the lack of a release from Wisconsin, this player, whose family lives in South Florida, simply left the university and then enrolled on his own at the University of Miami. Now, it is unknown how much of that NIL loot, if any, right, that the U may have offered to this young man to transfer. Now, this standoff may signal the first of many, many more that we might be hearing about in the months ahead. These recent changes in college athletics are becoming a weekly continuing soap opera with no end in sight. And now, it's time for the bold and the beautiful and the cuddled and the overpaid. Jimmy Butler currently plays basketball for the NBA's Miami Heat. This 35-year-old all-star basketball player might be suiting up for some other team at any moment, though. The NBA has long been one of sports' longest-playing soap operas, and this year is no different. The former Marquette basketball player earns $49 million this year in Miami, and he'll earn a cool $52 million if he remains with the team in Miami next year. Regardless, Jimmy Butler issued a very public demand a few weeks ago in December that he wanted to be traded away from Miami. He claims to have lost his on-court joy of playing pro basketball in that city. After making those comments, Jimmy Butler was suspended by the Miami Heat basketball team without pay for 7 games for conduct detrimental to the team. That 7-game suspension, by the way, cost Jimmy Butler more than $2.5 million. Perhaps Butler may indeed find more joy by playing for another NBA team who's willing to offer him a brand new contract to pay him even more money than he already makes. All my children want more respect and money too. The Miami Heat is 21-20 today and in 8th place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The team would be in the playoffs if the season were to end today. But last Friday, Jimmy Butler's 7-game suspension ended, and he suited up for the first time in over 3 weeks. Miami lost to Denver that night, 133-113. Afterwards, Butler, who scored 18 points in Friday's 20-point loss, said that his beef with Miami Heat has not been with his fellow teammates, though. He said, quote, "As much as anybody might think, I don't got no problem with these guys. My beef is not with them and never will be." Perhaps, but his English teacher definitely has a beef with the former student Jimmy Butler. Now in his 15th NBA season, Jimmy Butler has played for franchises in Chicago, Minnesota, Philadelphia, and now Miami. And if he gets his wish to play for a 5th NBA team, it will likely be accomplished before the league's trade deadline on Thursday, February 6th. Jimmy Butler's new Search for Tomorrow may become a successful spinoff from the NBA's annual soap opera lineup. I'm Swamp Swammer.